for a moment the worst day in your life. And I'm going to wait a minute with that. Just get that in your mind, the worst day in your life. You got it? A day that you will never, ever forget. One that lingers in your mind and brings darkness into your brightest day. Remember that day? Those who were with Jesus when he was crucified, and this passage mentions them, John, Mary, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons, witnessed a terrible event, a horrific event that they would never forget, ever, ever. They witnessed the crucifixion of a truly innocent man. They witnessed the crucifixion of the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who became sin for us. The Lamb of God who became a curse for us on the cross. The Lamb of God who was crushed for our sin, according to Isaiah 53. Twice it mentions being crushed. Crushed for our iniquities, for our sins. The Lamb of God was crucified and died to deliver us, you and me. The Lamb of God died to save us. The Lamb of God came to rescue us. The Lamb of God died in our place. The Lamb of God took the punishment that we deserved. He took the punishment for us that we should have gotten. That's what Jesus did. We're going to look a little bit at this passage, and we're going to just see what Matthew, the gospel writer of Matthew, wants us to know about this crucifixion, the crucifixion of our King. As we go through Matthew 27, verses 32 through 56, we'll look at eight things that Matthew mentions that our King endured during his crucifixion. First of all, our King was led like a sheep to the slaughter. Look at verses 32, Matthew 27, verses 32 and 30 through 34. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. The context before this tells us that Jesus had been awake all night and had been tortured by the soldiers, especially the soldiers had in their mind to ridicule him as king of the Jews. So the soldiers had to bring Jesus to the cross. It says in verse 26 that he was led. They led him out. And the word there you could actually translate as brought him, almost carried him out, because he was in such bad shape because of all the abuse he had received already. But the Passover was coming. They couldn't have someone hanging on the cross, a guy that they murdered hanging on the cross, when they're going to celebrate their greatest religious party of the year. Couldn't have that because everybody would be unclean. So to make the process easier and to make certain that they got this done before the Passover, they drafted Simon of Cyrene. to carry his cross. You know, Simon had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, to sacrifice his Passover lamb. But he met the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for him. Second thing that I noticed going through this passage, our king was nailed to a tree and despised, according to verses 35 through 38. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. So our king was nailed to a tree and despised. You know, death on a cross was meant to be as painful as possible and as degrading as possible. And it was never even spoken about in polite society circles. It was too cruel. It was the cruelest way that men could devise to kill somebody slowly and painfully. That's what they did to Jesus. And they even divided up his clothes, leaving him, I think, naked on the cross. All the paintings show him with a loincloth, but the goal was to defame him, to degrade him, and that would be another way that they would do that. And it fulfilled the prophecy that Pastor Matt read for us from Psalm 22, verse 18, where it says, "They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." You know, Isaiah 53, verse 3 also speaks about this passage. Jesus was like one from whom men hide. They hide their faces. He was despised, it says, and we esteemed him not. So our king was led like a sheep to the slaughter. Our king was nailed to a tree and despised. Our king was insulted by the common people. Our king, by common people, was insulted, according to verses 39 and 40. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. You know, Jesus was not executed in a quiet, private place, but instead on a public street where perhaps hundreds of people could see him. It was an international crowd, so they put the sign in 3 languages, in Greek, in Hebrew, and Latin. And Matthew tells us the sign said, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." The passage that Pastor Matt read also talks about this passage, Psalm 22, verses 6 through 8. It foretold these events. It says there, "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who seek me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." Fourth thing that I noticed, our king was mocked, not just by the common people, but by the chief priests and by those who were being crucified with him. Look at verses 41 through 44. "In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. 'He saved others,' they said, 'but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he says, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. You know, it's bad enough to be mocked by the common people. Maybe the common people didn't know the scriptures very well. But the chief priests knew the scriptures. They knew the Old Testament. They knew what all the miracles that Jesus had done. They had spoken about these things. But these guys also mocked him. And notice what they mocked Jesus about. They mocked Jesus' claim to be Savior. You know, Jesus could have saved himself. But guess what? If he would have done that, then no one else would have been saved. He didn't come to this world to save himself. He came to give his life as a ransom for unsaved people. Like we all were. We were all of us were unsaved people until we came to know Jesus. That's what he did. He went to the cross and died for us to pay the ransom for our sin. Fifthly, our king was forsaken by his father. Let's look at verses 45 through 47. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Jesus was nailed to the cross at around 9 o'clock in the morning and hung in the light on that cross for 3 hours till noon. Then from noon until 3 o'clock, darkness came over the land. It was during this time that Jesus was made sin for us. The darkness symbolized the judgment that he endured for you and for me. A holy God could not look upon his son who had become sin. You know, when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was quoting Psalm 22, verse 1, that Pastor Matt read for us. Jesus sensed a separation from his heavenly Father that he had never known from the beginning of eternity. This was the first time. It was devastating to him. Sixth thing I noticed, our king was misunderstood by the people that he had come to save. Look at verses 48 and 49. Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar and put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. You know, Jesus was probably at least trilingual. You had to be. When you live in a small country like Israel, you're doing business with all the people from all around the world. You're on a trade route. And it seems that he also spoke Aramaic. It was one of the languages. It seems like this phrase that I quoted is in Aramaic. People heard Eloi, but thought that Jesus was saying Elijah. In Greek and other languages, Elijah sounds a lot more like Eloi than it does to us. So it would be easy for them to make this mistake. Although I think purposely some of them were trying to make this mistake, trying to use it to mock our Savior. The seventh thing I noticed about this passage that tells us about the crucifixion is that our king died on a cross. It says that. Look at verse 50. And then when Jesus had cried out again in his loud voice, he gave up his spirit. It says that he cried out in a loud voice, showing he was in complete control of his body. and he gave up or dismissed his spirit. You know, by dying this way, Jesus showed that no one took his life from him. He died at the precise moment that he chose to. He laid down his life for us. No one took it from him. He did it voluntarily for you and me. The Son of God left the glory in heaven and came and lived as a man and died a death of a slave on a cross until everything was accomplished. All the prophecies were fulfilled. It's finished. And then finally, our King was testified about by three miracles in verses 51 through 53. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. There were three miracles that are mentioned here. The first is the curtain of the temple was torn. It was torn from top to bottom, indicating the way to God is now open, not just for Gentiles, not just for Jews, but also for the world. The world can come to know God because of the cross. Secondly, there was a great earthquake, showing that Christ's death affected not just people, but also all of creation, impacted all of creation. And thirdly, people rose from the dead, showing that Christ had conquered death by his work on the cross. This passage closes with the testimony of a trained soldier, a centurion. Look at verse 54. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." These were men that saw death every day. They watched how people died. They watched Jesus' reaction, and they saw the miracles at the end. They heard the word of God that Jesus spoke, and it was accompanied by the miracles, signs, wonders that are talked about in this passage. And they said, "Surely he was the Son of God." Who do you say Jesus is? Is Jesus the Son of God? Do you know Jesus personally? Do you know him? Once a very famous American author named Mark Twain went to Europe with his granddaughter. Does everybody know Mark Twain? Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn, Painting Fences. That kind of guy, Mississippi River. Okay, Mark Twain. Well, he went to Europe with his granddaughter. And, you know, in every town they went to, every country they went to, every village they went to, they threw him a big party. And they quoted the books that he had written. And they had gotten to know very much a lot about Mark Twain from what the papers wrote, what this book said. They all seemed to know him. And his granddaughter, who was about 10 years old, watched them and watched her grandfather. And then she stood back one day and she said to her grandfather, "Grandpa, you know everybody but God, don't you?" She knew that Mark Twain didn't know Jesus. She knew the most important person for anybody to know is Jesus. Do you know God? That is made possible through knowing God's Son, Jesus Christ. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior so that you can know God? That will change the worst day of your life into the very best. I promise. All the stuff that's happened to you, whatever happened, will be changed by knowing Jesus as your Savior. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this chance to look into the Scriptures and examine what happened to our Savior, who is the way, the only way to heaven, who is the truth. He's the one. There's no other truth. He is the truth. And he is the life. He is the source of life. He's the giver of life. He's the one we need every day in our lives to know God and to live for God. Lord, we pray that we'll take the crucifixion of Christ very seriously. And because of that, look forward to the resurrection in a couple days to really understand what the people thought when they saw Jesus, their Savior, crucified and wondered what would happen next. We get to know because we have the Bible, but they didn't know. Lord, we just pray that Jesus will be a bigger part of our lives. We'll remember the great sacrifice that he paid for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.